It's shocking enough to hear that 22 American military veterans commit suicide daily, a figure supported by several streams of data. But it's more shocking when you learn the total number of suicides is just over 100. So veterans make up 20% of the suicides, when all veterans from all eras make up less than 10% of the total population. Our first guests are determined to drive the veteran suicide number below 22. Project 22 is the movie they made about their journey to discover what's out there to help vets. This is a second visit to the Exchange for Daniel Egbert and Doc King. They joined us as part of our Local Focus project with Southern Oregon Public TV back in November. Now they're back because they'll be in the Rogue Valley next week for a screening of the movie and a TV show about their efforts and similar ones. I'll host that Monday night on SOP TV. Dan is a Marine infantry veteran. Doc is a former Army medic. Their overall project is called Medicinal Missions. Daniel Egbert, welcome back to the Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Doc King, good to have you back as well.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
So tell us about your military experiences. And you didn't meet in the military, though. You were different branches of the service. So, Doc, why don't you tell that story?
We did. I was an Army medic, as you said, and Daniel served in the Marine Corps infantry. It was actually very beneficial to me to meet Daniel, and I didn't expect to. I had just moved across the country from Seattle to New York following a pretty tragic time in my life where I pretty much left a divorce, a job, my school, everything that I was involved in, and was about to go through the darkest period of my life. And when I got out to New York, we were actually both on a film set doing some military work, and we met, and we were both looking for a place, and being the only other veteran that I knew out there, it was a situation that benefited me greatly.
It's kind of weird to think it sounds like you guys are the only two veterans in New York. I know that's not the case, but you didn't meet many others, it sounds like.
It's really, I think, really based on what you choose to do. When I got out, I chose to separate myself very far from anything to do with the military, my experiences, the veteran community even. And I wasn't surrounding myself with people that could relate to me very well. And that proved to be a challenge, and I found myself pretty isolated. Other than, when I would get loaded with alcohol or something that would get me out into the civilian population. But finding other veterans and reconnecting with the community really gave me a sense of grounding about my issues and also ways that they were dealing with the same things that I was.
So, Daniel Egbert, what was it like for you when you got out of the military? Did you likewise want to distance yourself from it?
Yeah, I think we all face the same struggles without even knowing it. I was going through the exact same thing, just with different surroundings, I guess, because I wasn't actually going through a divorce, actually, but I was putting myself in some bad situations, just distancing myself, using alcohol and drugs to try to dull the pain and get me out into the public whenever I felt it necessary. It was a downward spiral, self-sabotaging everything in my life. And the funniest part was I thought I was going through it alone. But once you reach out to your community, you realize that we all kind of have the same exact struggle, and you just got to reach out.
When you talk about dulling the pain, Daniel, could you even clearly identify what the pain was from?
No. No. I didn't know. I felt lost. I felt like just a piece of me was missing, and I didn't know why I was angry. I didn't know why I was suffering at all. But I knew that I would try to turn to alcohol to make it feel better, which was the worst possible decision. But it just felt right in the moment.
We have some clips from Project 22, and I want to play one of them now because the sense of despair that you both have talked about is clearly reflected in this particular clip from Project 22. Let's hear that.
I had my mental breakdown in the corner of a bar in San Antonio, Texas. And I had this breakdown, man. And it was, I realized that I did not care if I lived or died.
I would never would have thought that he would have done something like that, you know? But I know a lot of people frowned on, someone, committing suicide, but I know how he felt.
If I sat here and told you that I was never had thought about suicide, I'd be lying to your face. And I mean, it was just one of those things that you think about. Would it be easier if I wasn't here? Well, yeah.
And I was just over it. And I said, you know, I'm tired of this. I should have died in Iraq. I'm pissed at God that I didn't die in Iraq, so I'm just gonna go ahead and kill myself.
I didn't want to be weak. I wanted to live up to the awards, to the rank, to the name, to the persona of being a hero, and I attempted suicide. I quit.
Here again, the silences in Project 22 can be as profound as what you hear there. And I never cease to be amazed as I watch the parts of the movie, guys, that it just seems like the despair is pretty easily found. I mean, Dan, did you have to go very far to find people who were feeling the kinds of things that you had felt at one time? Dan?
No, we didn't have to go far at all to find people. Once they realized what we were doing, they opened up. The country opened up for us. It was unbelievable. From support to people just wanting to tell their story. Most of the trip was formed by people reaching out to us. So we met, like, for example, we met one person, and then they said, you have to meet the medic that saved my life. And then we would contact that medic, and he'd say, absolutely, I want to talk to you guys. And people, it seemed like people were waiting and looking for a reason to open up. And they opened up and poured their hearts out to us, which we are endlessly, endlessly grateful for. Once it was established, we had no trouble actually having people reach out to us.
Medicinal Missions is the organization. The film is called Project 22. It will air on public TV, Southern Oregon Public TV, on February 15th. We'll be talking to Doc and Dan in the studio at Public TV on the air next Monday evening. You can join us right now on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about Project 22, 800-838-3760 over the phone, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Doc, let's back up a step and talk about what it was that was the galvanizing moment that led you guys to start this project.
Absolutely. In 2013, there was a VA study that was released, funded by the VA. It was through the RAND Corporation. But it estimated that 22 veterans were committing suicide every single day throughout the year in America. And that number has been contested. Some people say it's higher. Some people say it's lower. Some people say, you know, there's too much of a focus on post-9/11 when that number includes a lot, like a huge portion of Vietnam veterans. And California and Texas, a couple of the larger states, you know, they didn't report, so there was some extrapolation that had to be done. And then there's misreporting around the whole, suicide because of the stigma and whatnot. But regardless, when those numbers came out and the studies showed that that number had been above 17 for about a decade, then it was just combined with the personal experience of almost losing one of my best friends. Just the point where me and Daniel were at, you know, we didn't have anything else that we felt like we could do in good conscience. We had to go out there. We had to find the information that was going to change the situation and do it in a way that we could share that with other veterans. And so the motorcycle documentary was what came to our mind about, you know, what do we love and what do we have a bit of interest in doing ourselves. And so that's how the Project 22 came about as far as my and Daniel's involvement in it.
It's a pretty slick piece of work, though. I mean, you guys got pretty good cameras and good production values and all that sort of thing. So it's more than just two guys on a motorcycle. How did you pull all the pieces together, and how long did it take to pull them together, Doc?
Well, we pulled it together and hit the road in about 2.5 months from the point of the idea. And the only way that was possible was, like Daniel said, when we put this idea out there, it wasn't only veterans that spoke up wanting to share their story, but the entire community spoke up and said, this is something that needs to be done, and we're going to help you guys do it. So the entire trip was crowdfunded. We had donations coming in. I think we were about half funded when we hit the road, and we didn't get our final final donation until we were on our last segment riding to New York. But the entire thing came together. You know, just we put it out there, and people stepped up with donations and even donating pro bono services and whatnot to make it happen.
Trying to get the money to do this as you're on the road sounds almost like those cartoons where somebody plops down a railroad track in front of them while they're on the train.
That's what it felt like at times.
Right. So you guys talk in the film about natural, holistic, and alternative therapies. Were there treatments or kinds of treatments that you did not want to explore, that you felt weren't working for veterans, Dan?
No, that we were open to everything. We just knew that the pharmaceutical route was, in our experiences, causing more damage than good, and we wanted to try anything that was natural and holistic to get away from that, because that wasn't working for our community. So we just wanted to span the country and see what was out there, straying away from the norm, the standard definition for quote unquote help for the veterans, and just show them alternative therapies, what they can do, how they can pull themselves out of their isolation and get back into their community again.
Daniel Egbert and Doc King are the makers of Project 22, the film about their efforts to find therapies, things that can help drive the veteran suicide rate under the 22 a day, reported in a lot of sources. Join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. You guys did find a bunch of therapies, to be sure, but you also got to talking about ancient cultures and how they brought warriors back home. What did you find out there?
We had a... Oh, go for it.
Go ahead.
All right, so Doc, take it.
Oh. We had an interview with a doctor at Duquesne University named Dr. Roger Brook, and this interview is actually the first one that we released online on our website. It's an extended interview, but he delved into talking about PTSD not as a individual psychiatric diagnosis. But rather as something, a human universal that's been dealt with and documented for thousands of years. I believe 3000 BC was the first documented instance that he brought up, where this man talked about a shadow that followed him the rest of his life. But not only did they experience this, they dealt with it. So they had rites and rituals and ceremonies and cultural and societal support for the warrior's path. And what that did was it allowed you to come back. Well, it allowed you to prepare first and go to war as a prepared warrior. But it allowed you to come back and pursue a path of healing and post-traumatic growth, where it was expected of you to become a community leader and a mentor. So the whole dysfunctional veteran and, you know, that stigma and stereotype is a fairly recent one, and we're determined to sort of return to the days when it was expected of veterans to step out and to grow and to become leaders and whatnot within the community.
We have another clip from Project 22 I want to play here, which deals with a lot of what you're talking about with PTSD and the brain. Let's hear that now.
We do a great job of preparing veterans for the military. Really hundreds of hours. We do a terrible job of training them for the transition.
It was good to get back home, even though I still felt kind of like an alien in my own hometown, and, you know, it kind of felt weird, and just had to reestablish new norms, and, you know, because I learned the hard way that, you know, I had to adapt to my environment, and my environment wasn't going to adapt to me.
You know, the saddest thing is, you know, I forgot, once I got back, how to be a son to my mother, how to talk to her like a son should talk to his mother, or how to be a brother to my sister and brothers, you know, how to talk to them as a sibling.
There's something biologically in the brain that happens, that the area of the brain for memory, for a specific memory, and the emotion that goes with that memory misfires and stays misfired. I mean, everybody's different. So you gotta figure out where in this thing is not working right. And what can I do to affect it selectively without a lot of side effects?
Dan, you talked about concerns about drugs being used on people. I think that was you who said that. But so what are some of the side effects that most concern vets in trying to deal with their PTSD?
Well, a lot of medications that are prescribed for post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury is something called black box labeled, which is a medicine that actually, as it increases the rate of suicidal tendencies, or in the veteran's mind or anyone's mind that's taking it, so it's kind of a lose-lose situation. You can't win because people are coming in asking for help, and then they're being prescribed medication that kind of increases that thought process. So, I mean, that alone is something worth getting you off the medications in a healthy route, because you can't just stop it. You got to wean off of them.
And you know, this goes way beyond things like medical treatment and counseling, because Project 22 is a real road trip to look at therapies like taking people sailing on San Francisco Bay, or getting people outdoors to work in teams together. I mean, it's the artwork, you know, anything that really gives a creative outlet to the vet, to divert them away from suicidal thoughts and things like that. Along the way, though, I mean, were there any things that you guys saw, Doc, that you thought, oh, man, this is like Quack City. This won't work. This can't work.
Actually, no, we didn't run across anything like that. I found a couple of things probably that I may have said that before the trip, but then upon, you know, visiting them and hearing sort of the personal stories and the testimonies, but you have to remember, we're talking to a veteran population. When I was in, you know, if you would have told me that one day I would be doing yoga and that would be healthy for me, or meditation, when I was in uniform, I would have laughed at you and told you Quack City then, you know? So it's kind of based on our individual paths and where we are. But the main key that we found was there is no individualized treatment. There's no individualized approach. You know, we're all different backgrounds and different everything when we join the military and when we go through these experiences. So when we come back, even though we face similar and the same challenges, there has to be an individualized approach. It has to be a treatment plan, a route to therapy that works for us.
But, Doc, are there some basic pillars that seem common to all sorts of therapies that do work?
Absolutely. There, one of a few of the key findings from the trip were reconnecting with your community. Isolation is one of the worst things for a veteran or anybody going through mental health challenges. Reconnecting with your community, finding something that allows you to feel that passion and allows you to focus, and getting up and getting out, just taking that first step, having faith that you will find hope around the corner, just taking that first step.
Daniel Egbert and Doc King are guests again on the Jefferson Exchange, the creators of Project 22, their film to try to drive the number of veteran suicides under 22. Dan, I haven't even asked about why go by motorcycle. I mean, you guys could have traveled in a little more comfort in a motorhome or something, so why this way?
Well, yeah, Project 22 it saved me and Doc too, and part of our therapy is motorcycles. The truth is that we were planning, because Doc and I are both film fanatics and we were in the film world and wanted to be in the film world. So we were planning on doing an actual remake of Easy Rider. And then because they were we wanted to do our own version of it in our own modern times, to ask our own questions.
But not with the rednecks time. Blowing you away with a gun.
Yeah, exactly. That. So then obviously with my story and Doc's story and the statistic released, and just dire times for our community, we realized that we needed to do this film instead. So we kept the motorcycle version of it as not only just a great cross-country choice to travel cross-country on motorcycles, but also as a healing factor for Doc and myself.
You know, there are parts of the movie where you guys are trying to get a bunch of vets together and nobody shows up, for example. So there were certainly some down moments on the trip. And, you know, when you're dealing with personal tragedies, you're going to hit those. But there are some real moments of triumph, too. And I want to hear from each of you in turn what still sticks with you after all this time. Dan?
What sticks with us after all this time?
Yeah. Of this particular journey, I mean.
Yeah. It was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever been part of. It was actually probably got to be the most beautiful, because you see in the film how when we started in LA, no one was there. No one came out to support. No one really cared. By the end of the film and throughout the entire trip, this country opened up for us, and I've never seen so much love and support from strangers that cared so much about this cause and their veterans and their country's heroes, and just wanted to help in any way possible. The way the country opened up for us was so beautiful, and that will stay with me forever. Being that feeling, that seeing that happen, it's pretty indescribable.
And Doc, for you, one moment that rises above all others, maybe?
Yeah, I have to echo that, because there's been so many beautiful moments, individual moments with veterans, and then afterwards at the screenings, talking to veterans and their families. But, you know, during that road trip was a rough time for the country. We were on the road when the government shut down in that 2013. But I remember writing a status, and ironically, I wasn't on Facebook a lot because I was on my motorcycle, but I hopped on Facebook one time and I saw all this negativity come on. And I just thought, this is not the America we're riding across right now. These aren't the people we're talking to. This isn't what we're witnessing on the ground. And it was just amazing to really get out of really our own isolation and reach out and reconnect with the community across the country. That was the experience of a lifetime for me.
A real different country outside the Beltway, to be sure.
Oh yeah, and it's you know, this country is made up of many different countries all the way across, almost, you know.
All right. So let me let the folks know what to expect here. So we'll talk to Doc and Dan again on Monday at 9 on Southern Oregon Public TV on a program called Local Focus Project 22. There'll be a screening of the film at the Veterans Administration Southern Oregon Rehabilitation Center and Clinics, which people call the DOM. That'll be on Tuesday at 2, February 9th, with the Old Guard riders actually taking their motorcycles out to join us up. They'll join up at DNS Harley in Phoenix at 12:30 on Tuesday and leave that parking lot at 1 for the movie screening at the DOM at 2. And then you can actually watch the entire Project 22 film on February 15th at 9 on Southern Oregon Public TV. Daniel Egbert and Doc King, good to talk to you once again. Looking forward to seeing you once again next week.
Thank you. Thank you
so much.
All right,
take it easy, guys.